Hello, everyone. Welcome to the weekly newscast here on pwponderings.com. Crazy fun time this weekend. Lots of results to discuss. And as always, I am joined by Jerome Cusan. Jerome, in this day and age that Finn Balor is now on Raw, lots of crazy stuff happening around us in wrestling.
Every week, it just seems like there's something crazy going down, and big surprises all across the board. And this week, we had another example of it with Will Ospreay signing with WWN, despite the fact that he is associated with New Japan Pro Wrestling. There's Bola matches. We have somebody who is going to be wrestling in both Chikara's King of Trios and PWG's Battle of Los Angeles. Incredibly, not Candice LeRae, though. So we will get to all of that on the weekly newscast, and it's great to be here. Only 2 days late, but we are here, and unfortunately, no Brian or Sierra. Brian is off catching Pokemon, and I'm not sure where Sierra is, but they will be back next week.
Have you not caught the craze yet, Jerome? Are you not playing Pokemon Go?
I am not one of those people who criticizes others for doing with their free time what they will. It is perfectly acceptable to me that Brian wants to play this game, and for anybody who is leaving the confines of their home and getting good exercise while playing this game. But I personally do not have time to play, so I will not partake. But I respect anybody else who decides to play, because I am not someone who tells. I, Jerome Cusan, pro wrestling fan, do not have the right to tell anyone how to spend their free time.
That's good because I started 3 days ago. So, at the behest of several friends and the woman I'm seeing, yeah, jumped on board that train. But I only play it when I'm running, so I run about a couple miles every night. So it's something to do. It's whatever. Keeps me from getting mugged, I guess. Who knows? But yeah, Jerome. Also, you watched a lot of pro wrestling this weekend, both Evolve 64 and 65. Plus the Beyond Wrestling's debut of Flesh on iPay-Per-View. Before I run down the results of all those shows, what overall was this a pretty fun experience? I know because we watch a ton of wrestling now with the Cruiserweight Classic going on, NXT kind of putting on some decent shows every week, Ring of Honor, CWF Mid-Atlantic, and there's just so much wrestling now after SmackDown is now going live, and Raw is what it is. I know that you watch some WWE. How is this weekend overall for wrestling?
I thought it was a really solid weekend overall for Evolve. 64 in particular was the stronger of the two shows. 65 was definitely weaker, but Johnny Gargano versus Drew Galloway was an excellent way to cap off the entire weekend. It was a fantastic match and a fantastic effort from both guys, so you really can't criticize that in particular. 64 had a number of real standout matches. Johnny Gargano and Cedric Alexander was unbelievable. Just a tremendous experience, and you can see why those two guys are so highly regarded in WWE circles. And those are certainly guys who you can make an argument are two of the best in the world right now. That is the case. Roderick Strong, no longer under contract to anyone. And what you know, Chris, he had a great match with Matt Riddle, a four-star match with Matt Riddle. It is amazing and funny how that all works. But I will leave it to the listener to figure out why it is the case that Roderick Strong is back to having great matches again. A bit of a surprise in the main event of the first night, kind of bearing the lead here, but Chuck Taylor came back to Evolve and was referred to as Dustin at Evolve 64. He was a surprise in the main event, and he and Drew Galloway became the brand new Evolve Tag Team Champions, as they defeated Drew Gulak and Tracy Williams in what was a very, very good main event. And then he cut a very non-comedic promo, basically saying that Chuck Taylor is dead. And this was the most serious that I have seen Chuck Taylor in a very, very long time. He was not comedic at all, and it was a very different turn. And I'm very, very interested to see this, but for me, I think the thing that impressed me so much about Evolve 64 and 65 was the continued consistency of this company. That's what's impressive, is just how consistent that they have been this entire year, And I think for anyone who has given up on Evolve and still isn't on the bandwagon, I think now is the time to come back, because this year just has been a very, very strong for Evolve as a company. Gabe Sapolsky, the booker, seems incredibly motivated. There are storylines. It's not just a collection of random guys having matches anymore. This feels like a very cohesive roster that has a very strong purpose. Timothy Thatcher is not having a great 2016, especially since WrestleMania weekend, there's something missing. But when you look at Evolve in the overall sense, just incredible work by this company.
Out of curiosity, what did they say? Because I'm reading your review up. Everyone can check that out, pwpunderings.com. So you're saying, so, you know, Chuck Taylor, he's talking about how himself, EC3, Hero Rhodes, they'll all be in the house together. And he, I guess he's burying Gulak for going to, or being a part of CZW while he's been there since the beginning. And at the very end of your description here, he says Gargano will have his back broken again, obviously talking about the serious injuries that Gargano has had in the past. What is the thing that ties all these guys together, particularly Taylor with Galloway? It's, you know, for those of us that haven't seen it, like myself, what is it that is bringing them all together?
I think it's that sense of cohesiveness. You know, back in 2009 and 2010, I think there was a real rift between Dragon Gate USA and Evolve, and I just feel that Gabe was very unfocused, and I think it hurt both brands, to be honest with you, because he was trying to do this very specific set of storylines, the super show concept with Dragon Gate, and then Evolve, whether you wanted to admit it or not, kind of came off as B shows. And there were some very, very good early Evolve shows. But they sort of got lost by the wayside. There were some shows that did not draw very well. There were some WrestleMania weekends where Evolve came off very, very poorly. But they have done an amazing job of just being able to put together a consistent roster. They don't have the Dragon Gate affiliation to worry about anymore. They can focus on building their own roster. And even though there was a rift, I say rift in that, not that there was a conflict between the people, but just that there was a rift between the focus of both of these companies. But for me, Chris, I think the most important thing about this company and what they've been able to do is that even while there was problems with booking both Evolve and Dragon Gate USA, they were still able to get a lot of guys over and ready. You know, Johnny Gargano is one of the first names that comes to mind. But, you know, they had this roster, a really solid roster, and it's only gotten better. And, you know, they've been able to incorporate the grappling style fully encompassed into Evolve. They obviously have the WWE relationship. I think that has obviously been a huge benefit to Evolve. Just a lot of credibility added for fans. And I think for a lot of fans who maybe would not give Evolve a chance, I think there are some fans that WWE stamp of approval does mean something. You know, I think for you and I, Chris, I don't think it necessarily matters. But I think for some people, I think that does matter, particularly in a market like Florida, where there are not the hardcore fans. But for me, Chris, I think there's a whole host of things that Evolve has been able to do over the last 2 years, really. I mean, this company was showing signs of life back in late 2014. But specifically, I think this year in particular has just been their...
Yeah, I could see that. I'm kind of wondering, though, where Taylor fits in. You know, like you mentioned, this is a more serious side of him. Now he's just Dustin. Shoot names. Great. But yeah, so I'll, like I said, I'll run down the results for these three shows. You can kind of give your overall thoughts on them if you want per show. We'll start with Saturday, Evolve 64, Johnny Gargano versus Cedric Alexander. Johnny Gargano gets the win. And as you said, a very good match. Obviously, Alexander coming off his win in the Cruiserweight Classic. As of this recording right now, he's actually probably... Actually, I don't know if his match is up right now, but he's already advanced in the Cruiserweight Classic, so that's pretty cool. Tony Nese defeated Chris Dickinson, Fred Yehi, and Darby Allin in a four-way freestyle. Saw Ethan Page defeat at Wheeler, Utah. A lot of people are high on Utah, so I'm interested to see what he looks like on a different stage, involved being kind of the upper echelon of indie pro wrestling. Zack Sabre Jr. defeated Jigsaw. Jigsaw, he was a replacement, and apparently he proved his stripes, so to speak. You know, after being a part of DGUSA / Evolve early on, and now making kind of a comeback, it seems that you would agree he should get more bookings there. Matt Riddle versus Roderick Strong. Matt Riddle getting the win, and Roderick Strong looking quote unquote strong on the, I guess, on the way out. No real idea where Roderick Strong's going to land, but he seems to be doing well. And then Tim Thatcher versus Marty Scurll. Timothy Thatcher retained his Evolve title, but it's interesting to see what they're doing with him. Not sure if Gabe's booking of Thatcher is kind of meta in the sense of, you know, there are fans that were high on him and then noticed, okay, well, he has that singular, very map-based-centric style. And so I don't want to say the fans have cooled on him, but there is definitely a turning point.
They have turned on it. Okay. I mean, they have cooled off significantly.
Okay, and then now look at how he's booked. So he's kind of that guy, and I don't know whether Gabe is purposely doing that, but I think it feels like he could be. And then in the main event, Drew Galloway and Dustin defeated Drew Gulak and Tracy Williams Catchpoint to win the tag titles. That was 64. Like I said, I'll just run down through Flesh. Also, Beyond Wrestling on iPay-Per-View, Kevin Ford, I believe, will be reviewing this for the website, so keep checking pwponews.com. Jonathan Gresham defeated Zack Sabre Jr. with the Octopus. Lou Fister defeated Veda Scott with the Burning Hammer. Team Pazuzu of Jaka and EYFBO defeated Team TFT4, the Hit Squad, and Brian Fury. Chris Dickinson defeated Peaky Sanchez. Kimberly defeated JT Dunn. And Matt Riddle defeated Tommaso Ciampa with the Cross Arm Breaker. Kind of looking forward to watching this overall, and with the Crusade for Change attacking Team TFT4 after the tag match. Beyond Wrestling kind of on a roll, and actually on this newscast at the very end, we'll be having a conversation with Drew Cordero, talking about iPay-Per-Views, probably American Rana 2016, and a lot more. So hopefully you guys enjoy that at the end. And then Evolve 65, Drum, as you said, kind of ending the weekend for WWE Live and Evolve. Cedric Alexander defeating Tommaso Ciampa. Really good match there, apparently. Ethan Page defeating Travis Gordon. I really like Travis Gordon. I think he's one of those guys that people should be keeping an eye on when it comes to younger talent. Matt Riddle defeated Marty Scurll. Catchpoint of Drew Gulak, Tracy Williams, and Fred Yehi defeated Chris Dickinson, Jonathan Gresham, and Darby Allin. And then Timothy Thatcher going up against TJ Perkins for the Evolve Championship. Timothy Thatcher retained. You gave that a 3-star match. With TJ Perkins, I'm kind of surprised. That seems relatively low, but I'm sure you'll be telling us why. Zack Sabre Jr. defeated Tony Nese. And at the main event that you have already talked about, Drew Galloway defeating Johnny Gargano in what you said was a 4-star match. Overall, it seems a very good weekend for Evolve. But yeah, Jerome, your thoughts. Some of the standout matches and anything like that you want to talk about.
I mean, I think if people really want to read about them, they can go to pwponderings.com and check out my reviews. I mean, there were some 4-star matches across the board on all of these shows, and there are definitely some things that worked out very, very well for this company. So overall, just a very successful weekend, and I'll briefly talk about Beyond because I know that we're going to have Drew on later to talk about this. I thought Beyond Wrestling was a very, very good show overall. And for a first iPay-Per-View, it really couldn't get any better than this. They were able to showcase some of their local talent while also incorporating some of the more, I don't want to say mainstream, for lack of a better term, though I have to use it. But I'm going to be, you know, when I look at Tommaso Ciampa and when I look at Matt Riddle, those are two guys who bring a lot of credibility with them. Even though Matt Riddle barely has 2 years in the sport, this is a guy who really can make people interested in his matches, and his entire character and his entire persona just work out very, very well in his favor. And it's really impressive to see what he has been able to do just in the short amount of time that he's been around. And for Tommaso Ciampa, I mean, this is a guy who is going to be going to the WWE at the end of September. We know what he's all about. He is ready for this. The last 18 months since he left Ring of Honor have all been in preparation for this. So it is going to be very, very interesting to see just how this all develops with Ciampa and WWE. And Matt Riddle is a guy who should walk away with Rookie of the Year and the Wrestling Observer Ballot Awards. you look at some of the other matches that took place on this Beyond card. One of the things that was also really impressive to me is that they were able to weave in the Women's Wrestling Revolution into this as well. And that's really impressive to me that they were able to do that, to incorporate Lufisto and Vita Scott, I think was very impressive. And their match was really solid. And, you know I've been down on Vita Scott a lot over the last few years and, you know, have not been a fan of her work. But she is definitely someone who, if I had a ballot in front of me and I were to say who are some of the most improved wrestlers in the world, she would be one of those people, because I really do think that Vita Scott has improved significantly. And if you are someone who has been down on her work, I definitely think that this is a match that you should go out of your way to see. You know, there were the Chris Dickinson, Picky Sanchez match. I wasn't that into it the whole way through. It was okay, but it certainly was not anything that was going to rock my world, so to speak. But really, just in the overall sense, I think what this cards were able to do, or what this card specifically was able to do, was to just get over the concept of Beyond Wrestling as a brand, as well as, to an extent, the Women's Wrestling Revolution. One of the matches I haven't talked about yet that I want to is JT Dunn versus Kimberly. These two have a very long and storied history, just in the ring and personally. I don't really want to get into the details of their personal relationship, which they admitted that they were together. So I have no problems talking about that, but their relationship ended, and there's been a lot of discussion about it, which I do not want to get into. But, you know, I did have a problem with KT Dunn kissing Kimberly. I just think that spot in the year 2016 is repulsive. It comes off as sexual harassment, and it's not something that I think Beyond Wrestling should be doing. So, but overall, I definitely thought that it was a very, very good first effort for Beyond Wrestling. And I know that Drew has been very hesitant to do iPay-per-views, with good reason. You know, I'm not indicting anyone who at this point decides that they do not want to go the iPay-per-view route, especially because Beyond, ever since they started the FET era, and especially the last year or so, they're really good at getting their footage out on YouTube and editing it and putting it together real quick. So I don't think that they need to be forced into doing all of their shows as iPay-per-views, but it certainly got, I think, some extra eyes on the brand, because it was just on people's mind a lot more so. Live wrestling is always going to be on people's minds more so than watching a show that's already been taped.
Yeah, I think so. That interest is there. And even though when it comes to ratings, I think enough data has been shown that, does it really matter live between tape? There's a little bit of a difference. But when it comes to indie wrestling, I think it does. It makes a significant difference in the viewers' enjoyment of the show. Somehow, people, they're affected by that. So, but yeah, sounds like it was a good show. We'll be talking to Drew all about it a little bit later. So, some other results from this weekend. On Point Wrestling held their Survival of the Sickest. Low Life Louis Ramos defeated Matt Tremont and Connor Claxton and Drew Budd in the very end. And so he is the, I guess, the Survival of the Sickest champion. The G1 also occurred. There were some in Block A. You can go check out a review of that from our new writer, Eddie Cornelison. I hope I'm saying that right, but you can check that out on the website at pwfinders.com. And there were some Ring of Honor TV tapings. Obviously, everything that happened there are spoilers. So foregoing any of that discussion here on the newscast, there will be a Podcast of Honor very soon to discuss that. So we'll have that up there. But Jerome, Let's talk about some of this news that happened, and you mentioned it in the beginning. So, Will Ospreay, New Japan standout, and I'm sure everyone was hoping to see him at possibly one of these Ring of Honor New Japan joint shows. Not going to happen. He has apparently signed, when it comes to the United States, an exclusive deal with WBEN Live, reportedly from PW Torch, because they are paying for the work visas for him and Zack Sabre Jr. So, outside of PWG, that is where you will see Will Ospreay. He will have those involved dates. Hopefully, he can make them in between his international and New Japan dates. And I don't know, Jerome, this is an interesting move, because I would have thought Ring of Honor would have tried. I have no evidence that they didn't try, but apparently he decided that going with WWE Live was the way to go.
I mean, you can't necessarily blame Ring of Honor directly, but you have to concede the point, Chris. The optics of this look very, very bad. When New Japan and Ring of Honor have a relationship together, and the Will Ospreay goes to WWN, which I don't want to say they're in direct competition, but they basically are because of the affiliation with Gabe and whatnot, and there's always sort of been this rivalry, and WWN just one-upped Ring of Honor in a big way. And again, I don't know if it's necessarily Ring of Honor's fault. Will Ospreay may have no interest in going to Ring of Honor. There may be some people in New Japan who tell Will Ospreay that going to Ring of Honor is a very poor choice for a number of different reasons. But the optics look bad, Chris. That's the bottom line. To me, from Will Ospreay's perspective, though, obviously this is a very smart move.
It is. I mean, it gets some of those people that are watching this Cruiserweight Classic, it gets their eyes on there. And then with the Cruiserweight division, I guess, going to be is it an exclusive to Raw? Did you watch the draft, correct?
I did watch the draft. Cruiserweight's apparently going to be a part of the Raw roster. The only real Cruiserweight that I can recall being drafted was Adrian Neville, or the only Cruiserweight-like wrestler. But obviously, they're going to be expanding the rosters even more over the next few months.
Right, that was the other thing we haven't discussed. Kota Ibushi and Máscara Dorada, Grand Metalik, they are signed to WWE, reportedly.
Apparently they are, and obviously you knew that was going to happen. You knew that four or five of these guys were going to get signed, because that's what a smart company does, Chris. You see the talent that's in front of you, see how good they are, and then you just sign them. When you're the biggest company in the world, that's exactly what you do. That's a smart move on their parts. So you can't really indict them for doing that. I really want to talk about Ospreay a little bit because...
Absolutely, yeah. He's one of them. I mean, he's a cruiserweight.
The way that I see this in a couple of different ways. I see this as Will Ospreay is now firmly entrenched in New Japan Pro Wrestling, but he has a foot in the door of WWE because you know the WWE... There are people in WWE who are watching Evolve very, very closely. And when Will Ospreay's contract next comes up, there is a possibility that he could go to WWE. And I think it's a smart move on his part to play off both sides. If WWE decides, well, we're going to lowball you, then he can just go back to New Japan Pro Wrestling and still get a push and still be emphasized as one of the top New Japan juniors in the world. I mean, people forget, the guy's 22, 23 years old. This guy could potentially have quite the career, but he's also got to maximize his value as well, because as a high flyer, there's only so many different places and different ways it can go. His body is eventually going to start breaking down. So that's obviously something that you have to be concerned with. But my hunch is that, you know, he's going to work, do Evolve here in the States and PWG. He's going to do New Japan, and then he's going to do a couple of UK stuff. UK promotions, maybe your Rev Pros and your Progresses, and that might just be it. I mean, that's a pretty full schedule in itself. But good for Will Ospreay. You know, I think I don't understand. To me, I know that there are people who don't like Will Ospreay, and based off of that gif of the Ricochet match, but I see him as a potentially transformative talent who can bring professional wrestling into the 21st century. And, you know, he's a guy who has all the potential in the world, and he is working for companies that are going to get him to where he needs to go. Whether that's WWE, whether he chooses to stay in New Japan, good for Will Ospreay. He's smart enough to know where to go, and obviously there have to be people in his ear telling him that WWN Evolve was the right place to go.
I would think so, yeah, if he wants those some of those eyes in front of him. And, yeah, like you said, it's interesting, as you said, the optics of it with between New Japan and Ring of Honor. Not sure what that means, but clearly he's able to make his own decisions. They're independent contractors. They can do what they want. Jerome, speaking of, just to kind of tie into the Ibushi and Máscara Dorada signings, I mean, was it not just a few years ago we were talking about how Triple H, just like, he took over NXT, he's bringing in these established indie guys are like, okay, so he sees that talent, but how is he going to be when it comes to garnering newer, younger talent? And I think this kind of answers part of that question. I feel like some of the people listening to us here on this podcast, they were saying, oh, you know, Triple H, he's know, he's doing well with NXT, but what is the future going to be? Well, here it is. I think we can kind of garner something from this.
Yeah, and, you know, ultimately it's going to bear itself out. There's a lot of external factors. Obviously, Vince McMahon is still the king of the castle. You know, that's whether you like it or not. The USA Network obviously has a major influence over WWE, much to WWE's detriment. I am a firm believer at this point. I think the USA Network has just been disastrous for WWE in a lot of ways. But it's really funny just to see how this is all starting to work out. And you know, obviously there's a lot of people in Triple H's inner circle. You got to think of it that way. William Regal is someone who has scouted Evolve shows, who scouted PWG. Jimmy Jacobs is in WWE. Adam Pearce is there. So there's a lot of factors. You know, Matt Bloom is there, and that's sort of a New Japan tie-in. And really, there's just so many guys who have come from the indies and gone to WWE now that, you know, it's become a lot more friendly of a place. And, you know, it is plausible that Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks, three people that I would have never bet would go to WWE, by 2018, those guys are probably going to be in that company. So it's really interesting to see how this is all developed and how this is all going to affect the indies. But, you know, I know that there are people who are very concerned about the independents and Ring of Honor specifically. And my response is Ring of Honor is – it feels like a disaster at this point. You know, I know that George Carroll is not – the firing of George Carroll is certainly not going to break the universe. But I think it's a continuing sign that Ring of Honor is having a lot of trouble internally right now. And, Chris, do we want to talk about the contracts now?
I guess we can. Yeah, you can lead off that discussion. But just real quick, yeah, it was noted both by the Observer and the Torch that George Carroll, his firing, maybe not a lot, but some key talents backstage that were not happy with that. Because he'd been there pretty much since SPG bought over. He had produced a lot of good content. He worked with the wrestlers. And say what you will, but that's good communication. And for Ring of Honor to let that guy go, I'm not saying Kevin Kelly can't do a good job. Kevin Kelly obviously has been in this business a long time. He knows what he's doing. But Jerome, you've been backstage at a couple shows, so have I. When you disrupt the locker room like that, that's not good for anybody.
I mean, don't think of it as being in a locker room. I think of it as, you know, you and I have both been in professional atmospheres.
Yes,
and
yes.
We know what it's like when someone gets fired or when someone leaves. Morale does go down, in particular when it's someone you like or you believe that somebody was fired for an unjustified reason. It's one of those things. It's really demoralizing. And, you know, for these Ring of Honor talents, specifically one of the things that was brought up, and I don't remember who said this, so I apologize for not citing my source, but one of the things that George Carroll was cited as doing is having the idea to put Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish together as Red Dragon, correct?
Yes. Yeah, he was key at that.
So that's just an example. Again, George Carroll's not – Ring of Honor's not shutting down because of George Carroll. But when you add up everything together, the George Carroll stuff, the politics that are being played backstage, and the fact that, you know, you've got guys who are gunning for power and gunning for agent jobs and stuff like that. I mean, that is not a fun place. I can't see how that's a fun place to be right now. And it sucks. It's really unfortunate that this is what Ring of Honor has become. Because when I think about this company specifically, I think of this company legitimately from 2005 to 2007 might be the best company. It was probably the best wrestling company in the world at that point, because WWE, certainly the in-ring quality was not nearly where it is now. New Japan struggling mightily, Noah starting to become a shell of its former self. All these companies just not that good. Ring of Honor, in a lot of ways, was the standard bearer for pro wrestling, and it just does not feel like that's the case. It feels like they have been usurped in so many ways, you know, by WWE's in-ring, by Evolve's in-ring, even to an extent TNA, even though I'm still, again, I'm not a fan of the Final Deletion, but more people were buzzing about that than anything Ring of Honor has done this year. And that really does say a lot to me about sort of where we're at right now.
So, yeah. So, you kind of mentioned that the contract's coming up. And I will admit, I have not read some of the current news coming up. But, Jerome, what is going on with these contracts? We've talked about this, I think, even on the last newscast and on the last podcast of Honor. But, yeah, come, what, January, February, Ring of Honor's roster going to look a little different. Maybe.
Right. I think the most prominent names, Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly, their contracts are coming up. I wish I had the list in front of me. But there is a lot of significant talents whose contracts are coming up. And what are the odds that they're going to stay? What are the odds that they are going to leave? Because you just know that WWE is going to be ready to gobble these guys up. You know that WWE is going to want to hurt Ring of Honor in a bad, bad way.
Yeah, it's going to be guys like Lethal and Cole and like you said, Kyle O'Reilly, Bobby Fish. Obviously, players from New Japan are going to help these guys make their decisions. But, I mean, Jerome, with the way NXT is being run right now and, you know, guys like Austin Aries, Bobby Roode, Shinsuke Nakamura there, if you can go to NXT and they make a good offer, you know, a good offer, you know, look at Moose. He went to TNA. He's teaming there with Michael Bennett. I'm sure that was a good decision for him, and that's great. So Ring of Honor at this point, I don't know, Jerome, what are they going to do once this happens?
I mean, they have to start scouring the independents and signing guys. That's what they have to do. I don't know if they don't have the willingness to do that, then I don't know what that roster is going to look like by this time next year. Because you know what? WWE has the seminars. I think these seminars are an incredibly valuable tool of identifying some talents who you may otherwise never get a chance to see. You know, there are certain guys who are going to wrestle for certain companies who you just, they may not be close enough to AAW, for instance, or AIW, or some of these more well-known indies. But if these guys are able to get themselves to a WWN seminar or a Ring of Honor seminar, that's fine. But you can't rely on the seminars. You cannot rely on them to do that. You look at what Evolve has done. Evolve uses both strategies, and that's why their roster looks so great right now. Tracy Williams, I can't imagine he was going through seminars. Drew Gulak, I don't think he was going through seminars. But, you know, they've worked their way onto this roster, and now they're a huge part of it. And then there are guys who have gone through the seminars, like a Darby Allin is a guy who went through the WWN seminars, according to them, and is probably going to be someone who's booked on a bunch of future shows. So I think that has to be the strategy moving forward. And I just don't know if Ring of Honor has the willingness to do that. Because to me, I have no evidence to support this. But as somebody who reads about these Ring of Honor seminars and the way it's done, and it comes across to me like a huge con and a huge money grab for the company. And that's it. Because and granted, there are some guys who obviously come through this and get signed to Ring of Honor contracts. But for me, I think it's kind of repulsive that you have to basically pay to play. I completely reject that as the only method of scouting talent. And I really do have a major problem with it. And it's something that I don't know if I've come out as strongly against, but I have a major problem with these camps being the only way that Ring of Honor brings in talent, or if you're a former WWE star like Cody Rhodes is coming to Final Battle.
Yes, they did announce that today. It's kind of sad that I did not have that on my list of things to talk about yet. But yeah, Cody Rhodes is there. He's been announced. His opponent will be announced probably over the next few days. So yeah, but Jerome, unless you have anything else to mention about Ring of that kind of stuff, talking of people, about people whose contracts are coming up and maybe going to other places, Adam Cole, he made the announcement he's not going to be part of BOLA this year. Cedric Alexander is now his replacement. Read into that what you will. You know, it's like, whatever. They probably got Cedric Alexander and said, hey, can we have a spot? So there we go. But they have announced more matches for BOLA 2016. And Jerome, some of these they're pretty exciting. So we got Phoenix facing Will Ospreay, Jushin Liger facing Chris Hero, Matt Sydal versus facing John Heidegger / Morrison / Nitro / Mundo / everything in the world. Ricochet going up against Jeff Cobb. Marty Scurll versus Pentagon Jr. Tommy End versus Zack Sabre Jr., and then Don Castle and the boys facing the Young Bucks and Adam Cole in a non-tournament match for night one. And then night two, Matt Riddle facing Kyle O'Reilly, Don Castle facing Jack Gallagher, Mark Andrews versus Pete Dunne, Kamaitachi versus Trevor Lee, Cedric Alexander versus Mark Haskins, Cody Rhodes versus Sami Callihan, and then Will Ospreay, Ricochet, Matt Sydal versus the Young Bucks and Adam Cole non-tournament match, and then Phoenix and Pentagon Jr. versus Chris Hero and Tommy End in another non-tournament match. I mean, Jerome, this is just a fantastic lineup.
With the exception of Sami Callihan and Cody Rhodes, I basically agree with you. I think Cedric Alexander being put in this tournament over Adam Cole is a positive thing. I consider that to be a net positive, so I'm very excited to see, because Cedric Alexander seems like a guy who is super motivated. And, Chris, fun fact, Cedric Alexander will be in both King of Trios and Bola. So he will be the only person to do that this year. It is historic for him. And you know what? Good for him. He deserves it. He deserves everything he gets in this year. And seriously, just think about this, Chris. In the span of a few weeks, he will have done Evolve. He will have done the Cruiserweight Classic. He will have done Bola, and he will have done King of Trios, all in like a month or two. That's incredible. To see where this guy was in Ring of Honor, to see where he is now, I could not be happier for Cedric Alexander. You know, Chris, and you know this, I have been a huge Cedric Alexander proponent for the last 3 or 4 years. This is not me joining the bandwagon. I started the bandwagon 3 or 4 years ago. So to see what's happened, it just makes me really happy. Genuinely happy for Cedric Alexander getting these opportunities. And he is someone who I have nothing but the utmost respect for. And I don't care what the ROH Mecca people say. Cedric Alexander is fucking great, and that company blew it with him. When it comes to the rest of the tournament, overall, I think it's going to be a really good tournament. But Cody Rhodes and Sami Callihan is the very antithesis of everything I would ever want in a professional wrestling match.
What is your perception? And you know what? I agree with you. People go back and listen to our newscast of 3 or 4 years ago. Jerome was that guy talking about how Ring of Honor is mishandling Cedric Alexander, putting him in tag matches that don't matter, him being losing matches that he should never lose. And then people kind of coming at Jerome and us saying, oh, you guys don't know what you're talking about. Give Ring of Honor time. Well, Cedric Alexander decided to not give them the time, and look at where he is now. So that's how that works. And there are other people making that decision too. And I don't say this as someone who, obviously, I cover Ring of Honor. I love Ring of Honor. I'm part of the Podcast of Honor. But, man, they've got to make some of those changes. But back to the question I was going to ask you, Jerome. So with Matt Riddle, you know, we've watched him the last, about 3 years or so. Watch what he's done in Evolve and a few other smaller indies. I know that AIW has announced him for, it's called Bloodsport, right?
Yes, it is the same weekend as UFC in Cleveland. Severn, Shayna Baszler, and Matt Riddle will all be on that show.
That's actually pretty smart booking there. But yeah, how do you think he does in Bola? How do you think he meshes with the PWG faithful?
I don't know. I certainly hope it's not a comedy show like so many PWG matches are these days. I'm hoping that he and O'Reilly are able to put something entertaining together, because unfortunately, this may be the only time we ever get to see Kyle O'Reilly wrestle Matt Riddle. And I don't care. Kyle O'Reilly's probably going to win, but that's fine. You know, that really doesn't bother me at all. But for me, Chris, I look at this situation and I see one of the best new sensations in pro wrestling in a long, long time. And I'm just excited to see what he's able to do. And, you know, this is a guy who's really going to be getting around the next few months. He is going to be doing the Scenic City Invitational Tournament. He is going to be appearing for A1 in August. And he is also going to be crossing the Atlantic and going to, I believe, Preston City Wrestling. So he will be going there as well. So good for Matt Riddle.
Yeah, no, he's taking this seriously. And I mean, he's doing PWG, you know, like you said, AIW, all those other promotions, the Scenic City Tournament or Invitational Tournament, Tier 1. I'm glad to see that he's taking this seriously. You know, he's not one of those guys that just kind of came in and said, oh, I'm just going to do what I want and use my UFC name, whatever, celebrity name, so to speak. But yeah, I'm kind of intrigued. So for you guys, just so you know, later in this week, myself, Brian, James Vanderbeek and Matt Farmer, both of those guys are part of the IndyCast over there in MLW and History in the Making, I believe. Matt Farmer's and Kurt Bauer's podcast. They're going to be joining us doing a little bit of a preview, not just for Bola, but for 13 as well. So check that out. Should be a fun podcast. But yeah, Jerome, why don't we talk about some upcoming shows? You mentioned this earlier. AAW has a show Saturday, July 23rd. So the lineup that I'm seeing right now on Facebook, and hopefully they haven't announced anything else, but Sami Callihan versus Pentagon Jr. in the main event, that is a title match, correct?
It sure is. And,
okay, it's not listed here for whatever reason. It does say AAW title match on the page, so I wanted to make sure. The Heritage Championship match, Matt Fitchett versus A.R. Fox, Marty Scurll versus Phoenix, Silas Young versus Josh Alexander. I think that's kind of fun. Jessica Havoc versus Heidi Lovelace, and then Zack Sabre Jr., Tommaso Ciampa, Gargano, Andrew Everett, Trevor Lee, Cedric Alexander, Eddie Kingston also all announced for Saturday, July 23rd for AEW. Of course, check out AAWrestling.com for tickets and all that stuff. But Jerome, talk about the show, man, because this is if Brian was on the show, I think once again he'd kind of be clenching his fist and saying, damn it, Jerome, you guys did it again.
Yeah, it's gonna be a packed house again on Saturday, and I'm gonna have a chance to meet awesome Twitter friends, which I will talk about on Saturday. But yeah, definitely follow me at PW Ponderings and Chris. Based on some news that I've received while we are recording, but I will not discuss on the air. I'll tell you off the air, Chris. This could be a really significant event for me personally on Saturday. So. I will tell you more about that next week if it happens. But, yes, overall, if you have a chance to go, you should definitely do that because it's going to be a fantastic wrestling show, Chris. And Marty Scurll and Phoenix in particular is what I'm looking most forward to. Matt Fitchett and A.R. Fox, that's going to be really fun. Pentagon Jr. and Sami Callihan is going to happen again. So we'll see what happens, Chris. But, yes, AEW Saturday. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm checking their Twitter real quick just to see. Apparently, Saturday is obviously the last thank you show for Project. For Tommaso Ciampa, and we didn't mention that. Tommaso Ciampa, Jerome, finishing up his indie dates in the UK. He is, he's finishing up phase three as everyone calls it now of the NXT contracts. Doing kind of what Samoa Joe did, where, you know, first he's doing a couple shows, then he's contracted to do NXT shows, but not necessarily exclusive, and now he's kind of filling that out to become an exclusive NXT talent and part of WWE, essentially. Jerome, Tommaso Ciampa, guys like him, Cedric Alexander, I don't even know if we have to discuss this, because it's basically what we just said earlier in the show. Another guy who left Ring of Honor, and look at where he is now. It's kind of insane.
It's crazy, and you can't help but be very happy for the talent. That's the bottom line. I am someone who can be critical at times of people, but when it comes to guys who progress in their careers, who show improvement, and who really make the effort to better themselves as wrestlers, and to also try to better their careers, you'll never hear me criticize guys for doing that. Even if, you know, I may personally not watch TNA or enjoy TNA all the time, but I am happy for Moose that he was able to get the contract. And look, I'm not someone who watches Raw and SmackDown on a regular basis, but I am happy as hell that Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are going to be on Monday Night Raw every week and will continue, and that they've been able to continue their feud on TV. You just have to be happy for so many of these guys, because we literally watch these wrestlers grow up in front of our eyes, and it is a special feeling to see just how much these guys have grown into their roles and what they're able to do on a weekly basis. And I know Tommaso Ciampa is going to do the same thing that Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens and AJ Styles and Cesaro and all those other people are able to do, even if they're not pushed as main eventers, or even if he never wins the WWE title. It means a lot that he's going to be able to have a successful run in WWE, I think.
So before we get out of here, they do have the full card up. So on top of the matches that I mentioned, Gargano and Ciampa versus Lee and Everett, Zack Sabre Jr. versus Cedric Alexander. OIA 4K versus the Hooligans. So yeah, Jerome, it's going to be a fun card. I'm looking forward to it. And yeah, so unless there's anything else beyond wrestling, also, we will, like I said, we're going to be talking about American Wrestling 2016 with Drew. And yeah, Drew, unless there's anything else you wanted to mention, I think we can get some plugs out here.
Yes, you can follow me, twitter.com/JeromePWPEditor, with the conventions and the draft stuff and my own busy life. I haven't been on Twitter as much this week, but I will be this weekend with AEW and whatnot. You can follow AEW Results, twitter.com/PWPonderings, and that is the place to find me just babbling on about results and bantering on what's going on at the AEW show. So those are the places to find me, Chris, and specifically you can go to pwponderings.com, find all of my reviews, including Evolves 64 and 65, and reviews coming up later this week. I will be reviewing some PWG from 2015, God help me, and you can also read my Rev Pro reviews that will be next week, including the Summer Sizzler. I will be reviewing Katsuyori Shibata versus Zack Sabre Jr., and I'm very much looking forward to that, Chris. So definitely check out pwponderings.com for the latest.
Lots of stuff going on there. Like I mentioned before, I will have a podcast later on this week with James Vanderbeek, Matt Farmer, and Brian discussing PWG Bola. So you can check that out. And yeah, just keep following us on PWP. Leave those 4 or 5 star reviews. We'd really appreciate it. And as always, thank you for supporting us here on the website. And yeah, we'll talk to you again real soon. And, of course, check out the interview now with Drew Cordero, talking Beyond Wrestling's iPay-Per-View, American Rana, and a lot more topics. Joining us on the line right now, he is the owner, operator, and basically everything of Championship Melt and Beyond Wrestling. Drew Cordero is joining Drew and myself on the line. Drew, man, how are you even alive right now after this weekend?
Oh, man, I'm. You know what? Here's the thing, is I do a lot of work ahead of time, and then the day of the event, I'm just like, eh, whatever. Happens, and I sit back and I try and put out as many fires as possible, and then I always say, okay, Monday's the day I'm gonna get caught up on everything, and I always have so much extra work left over from Sunday that by the time Monday rolls around, I'm still basically like 1 foot in the grave and just trying to push through, and then I get to take a nice nap today, so I'm caught up. I'm all right.
Well, Drew, so you have let's talk about this past weekend, the iPay-Per-View you debuted. As far as I've heard, I haven't watched it. Jerome watched it. Kevin is going to be reviewing it, but I've heard nothing bad about it. How was that experience? I mean, because you've always kind of, you know, honestly, been kind of against doing iPay-Per-View, like live. So how was the experience?
Oh, I mean, it was more so I was excited to do a doubleheader with Evolve Wrestling. I thought timing-wise with their involvement with WWE and the Cruiserweight Classic, you know what I mean? If they were going to be coming up to the Boston area, it'd be worth it to try and work with them. Obviously, I think that they have a lot to offer in terms of exposure on a international, worldwide, online basis. But I think as it stands right now, Beyond Wrestling probably has a stronger foothold in New England wrestling. So it seemed like a worthwhile endeavor to partner up. And it was just kind of like, well, if we're going to do the show together, you know, the Beyond Wrestling portion has to be an iPay-Per-View. So there wasn't really much discussion about it. And I can't believe that the iPay-Per-View, after all these years, is actually a viable platform, considering how bad it was in the initial days when people were trying to first run iPay-Per-Views and the technology kind of didn't match the ideas. You know, because in theory, being able to reach a worldwide audience with a live show and being able to produce it in-house, that's an awesome idea, and you'd be able to reach many more fans that way. But, I mean, it seemed like there were problem after problem with Go Fight Live, and I'm happy to say that WWE Live, I mean, has a proven track record that they have been able to basically turn it around, and, you know, Gabe, Sal, and Trevin are the leaders in terms of internet pay-per-view broadcasts right now with WWN, and from what I understand, there was virtually no issues with our stream, and that was always the big concern. It wasn't as though I was against the format per se, because I think it's cool to be able to show, you know, the world what you can do live. It's always more exciting watching wrestling when you don't know the result. But the concern was always, well, what happens from a technical perspective if this doesn't work? Thankfully, we didn't have to cross that bridge today.
Is there any idea of maybe doing more pay-per-view, or was this just kind of because you were partnering up with WWN Live for the weekend, and that's it?
I don't think it's something that we would do without WWN Live at this point. We're actually going to be working with Evolve again, going back to the Melrose Memorial Hall on Sunday, December 11th. So I would imagine that that's going to be another iPay-per-view as well. But aside from that, I mean, there's been times that I've off with live streams, but just the amount of work, that's the thing that's incredible. It's like when Beyond Wrestling has a live event, I've got like one person run the door, one person run merchandise. My family usually comes to do concessions, and you might have like a couple extra bodies. And with WWN Live, they have like a staff of like 40 or 50 people, and there's so much equipment that needs to be transported and set up. It is of a scale that, to me, I don't think that it's something that I would be able to do on my own. Not at this point in Beyond Wrestling, because it would require me to hire and outsource so many different responsibilities, and it's just not something that I'm interested in at this point. Maybe doing something more along the lines of what Freelance has done, where it's a single camera kind of live stream, more directed through YouTube, specifically Beyond Demand, to try and create some premium content. I could see us looking into that. I mean, obviously, now that we did the first iPay-per-view and it seems like it was pretty well received, we've had multiple requests for American Rana to be broadcast on iPay-per-view. It's just too short notice. You know what I mean? We're less than 2 weeks away from American Rana 16, so that's not going to be viable. But it's definitely something to keep in mind. I'm a lot more open to discussing the possibility of doing future iPay-per-views for Beyond Wrestling than I was prior to this weekend. So overall, I was very happy with the experience.
Jerome, you watched the show live. Anything that you want to say about some of the matches, some favorite stuff? I mean, Drew's right there, so.
I said a lot of stuff earlier. It was mostly complimentary. I thought the show was good in that it represented sort of beyond the full range of Beyond Wrestling, showcasing some of the local talents, your EYFBOs and Jockas, your guys who maybe are not as familiar to indie audiences. You also got the Women's Revolution, women, whatever, WWR. You got a showcase match for them, and you had Tommaso Ciampa, Matt Riddle, two guys who are very well known now to indie fans. So, I assume that that is what you were going for with this iPay-per-view, is you wanted a good mix of, here are some of New England's best, here are some indie wrestlers you probably know, and here are some female talents that also deserve more of an opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at it as this is going to be Beyond Wrestling's introduction to a new audience, as opposed to putting together a show for our existing fans. And timing-wise, unfortunately, I had been going back and forth about the possibility of running mid-July, and it had initially it fell through. It looked like it was going to be easier for their schedule to do Friday, Saturday, and they were originally scheduled for Wakefield, which unfortunately that ended up falling through in there. And because there were concerns that once they locked in the building and the building kind of saw the scale of Evolve, that the building's capacity wasn't going to be enough. So there were issues with them being over capacity, and then, issues with the fire marshal. So it ended up being more beneficial for them to switch over to doing the doubleheader on Sunday in Melrose. At that point, I had already had our June 26th event announced and our July 31st event. So to throw together, what basically needed to be one of the biggest live events that we've ever run, running three shows of that magnitude in 5 weeks, coming off of a sold-out show in Somerville, Massachusetts, which is only about maybe 15, 20 minutes from Melrose, only 3 weeks prior, it wasn't ideal circumstances. So if you're a fan of Beyond Wrestling, I think that you're used to 10 to 12 match cards that go 4 and a half hours. And so to see a card that was filled mostly with rematches might not be as appealing, and it might be the type of thing where it's like, oh, you know what? I just went to the show. I'm going to wait until American Rana. With the American Rana lineup is obviously bringing in a lot more outside talent. So instead, I wanted to make sure that the iPay-per-view was put together in a way that we could basically put all of our best wrestlers on one show in a surefire situation where, by doing so many rematches, it's like, well, we knew Tommaso Ciampa and Matthew Riddle had an unbelievable match the first time they wrestled. Let's do it again. Zack Sabre Jr. and Jonathan Gresham, Incredible. You know, we're able to put together a series of matches with them. EYFBO and the Hit Squad, you know, unbelievable chemistry. JT Dunn and Kimberly always have had great matches, never in front of a live crowd before. Dickinson and Pinky, I think we've only run it at a studio taping, but obviously they had unbelievable contests at Interspecies Wrestling. And then with the Women's Wrestling Revolution Showcase, it's like, you know, if you're going to go forward with a six-match card, you want to make sure that all of those matches get an appropriate amount of time. Which, you know, typically, again, we run more matches that go a little bit shorter. So I almost put this show together maybe somewhat mimicking the format of like an NXT Live special, where it's we're going to reduce the number of matches that we normally have, but we're going to make sure everybody gets the proper amount of time. We're going to make sure that every match has something different to offer. So in that regard, I felt Sunday went about as good as it could have gone. And, you know, I wasn't thrilled with the turnout. I mean, the building capacity is somewhere in the range of like 650. And I know that going back in December, we probably won't have a Boston area show in November. So I'm going to be interested to see how many more fans we can bring to the building for December when it is our big show of the month, as opposed to just kind of getting thrown out there somewhat last minute.
So do you think because you ran at 1:30 in the afternoon or 2:30 in the afternoon, do you think that had any sort of an effect on it?
No, because we usually do Sunday afternoons anyway. I mean, we've had start times between 2 o'clock and 6 o'clock. And I don't really think that the 4 hour difference, you know what I mean? It's either a Sunday afternoon or it's not. So I think if anything, working with Evolve Wrestling, there were a lot of fans that have never bought tickets to a Beyond Wrestling event that were pre-ordering tickets to our show. You know, just going through the email addresses and saying, okay, I know that this is a new fan and I know that this is because we're working with Evolve Wrestling. So hopefully those people liked what they saw that day. And hopefully it's going to be the type of situation where they're going to be willing to make the drive down for American Rana 16 in Providence to continue to check out, see what Beyond Wrestling has to offer. I would say of all of the events that we've done in the last year, the doubleheader with Evolve was probably the most successful in terms of capturing as many new fans in as short of a period of time as possible. Between the iPay-per-view, since a lot of people were making a day out of it by watching both streams, and then also by fans that were going to go to Evolve to see guys like Drew Galloway that have never really competed in the area, but figured they would make a day out of it and came for Beyond Wrestling as well.
Is it?
All right, Chris.
Yeah, I was going to ask. So have you, you know, you have the streaming service at Beyond Demand. Everyone should go check that out on YouTube. You know, YouTube, a very stable platform. I check out your subscription service and I just stream it to my television, either with the Chromecast or even just straight from my phone, just because I'm able to do that. Have you seen, I guess, a growth of new fans from that as well? I mean, obviously doing new live events at different venues is important, but, you know, having a streaming service, that has to open up a lot of different international fans to you.
Yes and no. The biggest limitation of the YouTube streaming service versus Pivot Share is that you have to actually create an offer for every country that you want the service to be available, and it's not available in every country. So I think that I have there's like a list of like 45 to 60 countries that I can choose from. So, you know, you'll get people randomly like, oh, I'm from Germany. For some reason, the service isn't available in Germany. You know, what can I do to watch it? And so that kind of stinks. But overall, you know, when we first started Beyond Demand, what my initial goal in my head was, we were able to reach within a week. And that was what I thought that we were going to do long term. We're more than three times bigger than that right now. And what I'm trying to concentrate on is we're running a very aggressive schedule this summer. We did two shows in May, two shows in June. We're going to have two shows in July, possibly shows in August. Not sure yet for September. Going to kind of see how things go at FET. And then, you know, we'll figure out the schedule for the rest of the year from there. But we're doing our monthly big event, which is getting a proper release through Smartwork Video, DVD, MP4. And then, for instance, like when we did the collaborative show with House of Glory back in June, we videotaped it on our end. They taped it on their end. They released it on DVD, but we made that a Beyond Demand exclusive. Same thing's going to happen with the Flesh Eye pay-per-view, is that WWN can release their edit on their end. Our final edit is going to be released exclusively at Beyond Demand. That's not going to get a DVD release. The Greatest Rivals Round Robin that we're going to do with Team Pazuzu in August. It's going to be a bit of a different format anyway, since it's going to be at a outdoor festival, but that's going to be exclusive to Beyond Demand. So all of that's going to come in addition to shows like Ripped Off in the Prime of Life or American Rana 16 or going back to May. You know, C5, which we taped earlier in the day, was exclusive to Beyond Demand, and then Gigantic got the full DVD release. So it's allowing us to experiment with different formats. I will say this, the biggest boost that I saw to Beyond Demand in terms of picking up the most subscribers after a single release was after the debut of Women's Wrestling Revolution. I think with that show alone, we picked up over 50 paid subscribers. So that ended up being a big addition to the channel. And that's something that I'm looking forward to, obviously, since we're going to be doing the doubleheader at FET Music with Women's Wrestling Revolution, a show called Revolutionary, and Beyond Wrestling American Rana 16, both on July 31st at at FET Music in Providence.
Yeah, speaking of, so you have at American Rana, or actually right before it, you have another Women's Wrestling Revolution show, Revolutionary, 1:30 p.m., the doors opening at FET Music. Kind of a cool little lineup here. Gianna Perrazzo, Kimberly, Santana Guerra versus Barbie Hayden, Jessica Havoc versus Veda Scott, Chelsea Green versus Luke Fisto, Taylor Hendricks versus Sonya Strong. You know, this is the understandably you're just booking this, right? This isn't necessarily your thing per se.
I mean, based on the execution of the first show, I'm definitely doing a lot more for the second show, but ultimately, yes, that's my primary role within the organization as matchmaker. But I'm also, as part of my agreement with FET Music Management, I also got access to the footage. So that's allowing me to kind of promote, you know, I mean, if you're a venue and you have a show coming up and you're promoting it, you're going to put tickets on the website, you're going to hand flyers out. So I'm doing a lot more to promote the second show because I have access to the footage from the first show. And we actually did the full DVD release, Blu-ray, video on demand, and MP4 through Smartmark Video. And at youtube.com/WWR Pro Wrestling, we're actually releasing the entire first show for free, match by match. So we're about halfway through that. And then we've been taping Women's Wrestling Revolution spotlight matches at Beyond Wrestling live events. So we've got a couple that we've yet to release, including Sonya Strong versus Lou Fisto, which we taped at House of Glory versus Beyond Wrestling, and Taylor Hendricks versus Jordan Grace, which we taped at Ripped Off in the Prime of Life in Somerville back at the end of June. So, I'm pretty happy with the card, the way that it came together for the second show. You know, there was a bit of a situation because the Women's Wrestling Revolution show was originally scheduled for the night before. So the format for American Rana initially was we were going to see if RWA, which runs out of the RWA Chop Shop. They also do live events from time to time. JT Dunn's got a lot more influence in that organization, and obviously he runs the school at RWA. We were looking to initially doing a Saturday afternoon RWA show at FET Music, Women's Wrestling Revolution show Saturday night. We were going to do a double card for American Rana 16, which is going to feature a lot more local wrestlers for the initial show. And unfortunately, what ended up happening is FET Music, let's say they got double booked for the Saturday. I'm not entirely sure of the specifics, but unfortunately, they weren't going to be able to run the women's show. So it was either, okay, do we cancel the Women's Wrestling Revolution show just after one show, or can we look to reschedule it for Sunday afternoon, and instead of making a full weekend, because obviously there's a lot of fans that are within driving distance, but I think the goal for an event like American Rana is to try and make Providence a destination for professional wrestling for the weekend, to try and attract as many fans as possible that are from out of the area that are going to be willing to drive in, maybe stay at a hotel for the night, something more than just a day trip. Unfortunately, that didn't come to fruition. And so, you know, there's a lot of people that I wanted to work with at American Rana that, you know, unfortunately aren't going to get that opportunity. And it wasn't an easy decision to make. And, you know, I feel bad for some of the wrestlers that have been, you know, working very hard over the past couple of years to not be able to get a spot on the biggest show that we have. But it's kind of one of those things where my hands are tied. And I feel like this is the best direction to go in. I really do believe that the Women's Wrestling Revolution brand is something worth sacrificing for. And I do see a lot of growth. I thought that where we started with it was an excellent start and put us ahead. Like, I remember for what we did for WSU's first show, and, you know, the Women's Wrestling Revolution debut was almost triple that. So that, to me, that's a really good starting point. And obviously, you know, I've invested a lot of time and energy trying to build the brand in between the live events by spotlighting it on Beyond Wrestling. It's a priority for me. So I think the lineup is pretty cool. Unfortunately, we're just finding out of a couple cancellations as we're getting closer to the show. Chelsea Green, she's not going to be wrestling Lou Fistino. I guess she's having some visa issues that have to get sorted out since she did get hired by TNA. So she's not going to be able to make it to the show. And then Willow Nightingale, who I thought did awesome on the first show. You know, a bit of an unknown. I think she trained with NYWC, really just starting to get out there. She thought she had like a sprained knee, and I think it got misdiagnosed, and then it ended up that she ended up having a torn meniscus, so she had to have surgery today. So she's going to be on the shelf for a while. So a couple matches that need to get shuffled around that I need to figure out. But, I mean, Deonna Purrazzo, who is like everywhere in terms of women's wrestling, like, I don't think there's anybody that keeps a busier schedule. She's actually never wrestled Kimberly before, and Kimberly, you know, is one of the most popular competitors in Beyond Wrestling, and I think that popularity definitely you know, transcends and is certainly going to work to her benefit at the Women's Wrestling Revolution show. Santana Garrett and Barbie Hayden, they had an awesome match when I was running WSU, and I'd like to think that we could repeat that success, if not better, since both wrestlers have gotten better as they picked up more experience. Veda Scott versus Jessica Havoc. Veda likes to run her mouth. Jessica Havoc likes to punch people in the mouth. That's an easy one. So, and then Sonya Strong, who, you know, trained with Amazing Red, coming out of House of Glory. Like, I think that she's somebody that you really need to keep an eye out for. And Taylor Hendricks, now that she's back in the New England area, I think is somebody we're going to be seeing a lot more out of, too. So, pretty cool lineup. Cool mix of, you know, some wrestlers that you don't normally see kind of, like, rolling in the same promotions. But that's you know, you guys know how I book by now. I like to put together matches that nobody else does, first and foremost. So, It's coming together nicely, and so far the advance is a lot stronger than what it was for the first show. So again, I am seeing growth with the Women's Wrestling Revolution project.
I think that's really great. Obviously, you talked to some of I believe Sierra and Dave. I think Jen also about it, and so they'll have you back on their women's podcast pretty soon to talk about all that stuff going on. But yeah, you know, speaking of American Rana 2016 is happening. An interesting lineup. I like it. I think that it kind of encapsulates a lot of the good, the uniqueness of Beyond Wrestling. For example, to determine the ace of Beyond Wrestling, you have JT Dunn, Donovan Dijak, and Chris Dickinson. You know, a lot of people ask us this, and obviously you probably get it multiples fold. There is no championship in Beyond Wrestling. So it's really just about these guys who have had really good years with you. You're booking them in a lot of different ways than other promotions. And now you have them all facing each other in a three-way. And then you have the Skillogy Part 3, Zack Sabre Jr. and Jonathan Gresham. And God knows when, you know, if things continue the way they are, when we'll see those kinds of matches again between those two. And then Chris Hero versus Kimberly, which, really, this is the first time ever. That's, I don't know, I'd have to go through cagematch.net or something, but that's pretty crazy. And then you have Catch Point of TJ Perkins, Drew Gulak, Tracy Williams versus Team Pazuzu, of Jaka, Drastic, and Ortiz, Tommaso Ciampa versus Brian Fury, and a Battle of New England, Johnny Gargano versus David Starr, the 1 year in the making, and then this match, I'm sure, makes Kevin Ford very happy. Brian Cage versus Keith Lee, AR Fox versus Matt Tremont, Matt Riddle versus John Silver, and then a 10-man tag team match, which I think is kind of, at this point, the favorite kind of opening for all the American Ranas. So, Drew, a really fun lineup. And like I said, it shows that uniqueness up and down the card.
You know, at first, when I wanted to put together the American Rana match this card this year, there were certain matches that I kind of had tunnel vision about. And, you know, the closer and closer that we got, the negotiation process with wrestlers that I never really dealt with before, it was just kind of like, what am I doing? Like, you know, there's people that have been busting their ass for Beyond Wrestling that are probably more deserving of the spot than just bringing in somebody once in hopes that it would create enough buzz. And, I'm happier with the way the lineup turned out. You you gotta find that balance. You know what I mean? Like when you look at a company like AIW and the lineup that they put together for like the JT Lightning tournament, where it's kind of like all over the place. And you know what? I think that AIW in that regard has really found that niche where they can be the independent wrestling promotion that still has that super indie style match, but they can bring in former WWE guys. And it's not gimmicky the same way it is for a company like PWS, if that makes sense. You know, and then you have a company like AAW that is starting to book more like PWG with less focus on some of the local wrestlers and more focus on, you know, some of the best internationally known wrestlers. And it's like, man, it really seemed like things turned around for them when they started booking the AAA wrestlers that compete for Lucha Underground. So it's like, so, you know, then I was like, okay, well, I kind of want to reach out to those guys. You know, and obviously when you look at PWG and how they've booked, and it's like, okay, there's a lot more influence from the British scene. Guys that have gotten, you know, more visibility with companies like Rev Pro and Progress. And then I was just like, wait a minute, like, that's what all of those companies do really well. And it's cool to borrow elements of those organizations from time to time. But ultimately, like, I think Beyond Wrestling is about focusing on wrestlers that live in the United States that are just as good as the wrestlers from Mexico or Japan or England, and putting them in a situation where they can succeed. And I'll tell you right now, this year, John Silver has caught on like wildfire in Beyond Wrestling. He told me, he said, I know I can offer a lot more than what you already have me doing. And when a wrestler comes up to me with that kind of confidence, I feel like I have no choice but to put them in that position where it's either sink or swim. And that first match that he had with Leo Rush was incredible. And then he had an unbelievable match with Tommaso Ciampa. And then the match that he just had with Keith Lee. And that's the other guy that's been on fire. Is like Keith Lee came out of nowhere, and it's unbelievable that a wrestler that large can stay hidden for so long. But there's so many incredibly talented wrestlers in the United States, and that's really what I want to do with Beyond Wrestling. That's going to be different than any of those other organizations. I still want Beyond Wrestling to be that platform to give these undiscovered or overlooked wrestlers an opportunity to show just how good they are and break out at Beyond Wrestling and get popular enough where somebody like a PWG or an AAW is going to be willing to fly them to their corner of the country so that way they can compete in front of that audience. And that was kind of my goal ultimately once I kind of moved past what my original plans were for American Rana, to put the spotlight on honestly, who, I mean, like guys like David Starr, you know, Keith Lee, AR Fox, John Silver, Matt Riddle, Pazuzu. I mean, anybody that's been following Beyond Wrestling this year, it's like the change in attitude from EYFBO and Jocko. Like, they are the most popular wrestlers on the show. Every time they come out, it's like a deafening reaction. So I'm really, really, really happy with the way the lineup ended up coming together.
This is the kind of booking that you do. You know, you talk about AAW kind of doing some of those super show matches. And I know that, I think during a Q&A on Twitter at twitter.com/beyondwrestling, you did reach out to some of the Lucha Underground guys, and it just the booking didn't work out, right? Because I'm sure a lot of our listeners are saying, why aren't the Lucha Underground guys?
Yeah, there? They weren't available that day, and the AAA office offered me some other guys in exchange, you know, ranging from King Cuerno, which he's cool, but obviously he's not featured the same way that somebody like Pentagon Jr. is. And like, even though I feel like he could probably produce a match that's just as good, you also have to look at it if you're getting a flight from Mexico, what that price tag is, how many fans is that wrestler going to draw in? And bottom line, King Cuerno is not as popular as Pentagon. So, you know, you had the option for somebody like King Cuerno to like somebody named like Grundo. I don't know who that is, or Grando. I'm not sure. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, if you're looking for Pentagon Jr. in Phoenix and you get King Cuerno and Grundo, it's kind of like, you know, I'm going to wait on the flight until we can get the guys that kind of have that proven track record instead.
Is there a kind of a, you know, we've seen you grow, you've wanted to be kind of that PWG, but of, you know, in your area in New England, is it working? Are the people, because I remember when you used to talk about some of the fans that come to Beyond Wrestling shows, almost kind of similar to PWG fans in that they come to be on wrestling shows because it's fun and it's exciting and they get to have awesome food and it's a great environment. Doesn't necessarily mean they're like, you know, Droman, they're not the hardcore wrestling fans. Has that changed since you've been going to FET?
Yeah, you know, I don't think, you know, for a while, like, it was super flattering when people would say, like, Beyond Wrestling is the PWG of the East Coast. Because to me that meant, I mean, when I watch PWG, it's because they typically have most consistently high match quality of all of the independent wrestling promotions. But it got to a point for me where I was looking for more from professional wrestling as a creative outlet than just putting together really good matches. I'm fascinated by the stories, and I try and make sure that every story and every match, you know, or every match has a story and that they're tied together in some way. And it's almost like I look at every show like a book, and each match is an individual chapter. And so that chapter may have a story that's self-contained to itself, but then when you put all of those stories together, it tells one big story. And then it's like, you know, almost if you were to compare it, I mean, I don't read the Harry Potter series, but I know of it, but I assume that it's kind of like, there's what, like 7 or 8 books? And so like
7 books, 8 movies, and soon to be a play.
Okay, but what I'm saying is that, so throughout all of those books, there's even, you know, there's an even bigger story that's being told. That's kind of how I look at Beyond Wrestling now. And Paul Crockett from PW Insider, who's been coming to a lot of our live events and been doing awesome coverage, always points out that there is no other independent wrestling organization in the United States that is putting as much emphasis on the storytelling as Beyond Wrestling. And I really do pride myself in that. And I do think that that's one thing that still gets overlooked, but can distinguish us from organizations like AIW, AAW, or PWG. I'm not saying it's better or worse. You know, I'm not trying to pick on them, but I know that there's a lot of fans that, you know, I'm sure would rather see 2 super indie guys wrestle instead of like a Crusade for Change match. But when you look at the reactions that the Crusade for Change gets in front of our live crowd and the story that we've been telling with them over the past year, they've all grown as performers. And that goes back to what Beyond Wrestling's purpose is in the first place, is to try and help wrestlers develop that way. They're more than one-dimensional. You know, look at A.R. Fox from when he started with Beyond Wrestling to how complete of a wrestler he is now, in terms of his presence in the ring, the way that he presents his character. It's more than just being a high-flying stunt show with him now. And I do think that a lot of it is because we put him in challenging situations that at times maybe he was in over his head, but he always found a way to get to the other side, and he's better off wrestled for it. So fans kind of need to know, hey, when I'm watching Beyond Wrestling, I'm watching the talent development process as well. And getting back to what you were saying about PWG is, I mean, obviously PWG is at such a high level now that when a wrestler wrestles for PWG, it's like getting them to the next level in terms of their popularity. But I don't necessarily know that a place like PWG does more to develop somebody's actual ability. It's kind of like, you know, you've made it to the dance at that point. And I still look at Beyond Wrestling as a way to help people develop so that they can get to places like that or earn more paid bookings or get on WWE's radar. So in terms of the fan base, you know, since we've left FET Music, we've had more sold-out shows than we've ever had. And yes, some of the venues are smaller, but there's also this kind of sense that, like, fans know, like, hey, we can't wait. We can't risk it. We might get shut out. And I think that, in turn, is almost making Beyond Wrestling more popular. Like, it's a hotter commodity because there's the possibility of getting shut out. You know, I can tell you right now that we are on course for a sellout at American Rana 16. But obviously, you know, running the biggest venue that we ever ran just a couple days ago in Melrose Memorial Hall, there was a ton of tickets left. So, you know, we've done 4 shows at Arts at the Armory in Somerville since last September. We have sold out every single one of those shows. Of the 3 events that we've done at Aurora, we've sold out 2 of those 3 events. The third one came on Memorial Day weekend, which is one of those situations where it's tough to run because you know people are going to be going to parties and stuff like that. But because nobody else runs, you have access to more wrestlers that wouldn't normally be available because a lot of people don't run because they know they're going to take a hit at the gate. But because we have the access and the development of all of that footage, you know, Tanya and her crew shooting it and editing it and getting it up fast, you kind of offset that loss because you put together a card that is compelling to people that want to buy the DVD or watch the footage after because it's featuring names that they know, like Big Damo or Jeff Cobb or Keith Lee. So the biggest thing that I think that we struggle with, and very rarely I think are you going to be able to find that overlap 100%, but the biggest thing is trying to balance the two audiences, the live crowd versus the DVD crowd or the Beyond Demand crowd, whatever you want to call them now. The people that are going to be there watching the show live versus the people that are going to be watching it after the fact, which is more so because they're interested in the more artistic elements of professional wrestling. They're interested in the performance. You know, you can't go back and watch like a baseball game. You can't just go back and watch like a random baseball game from like 1995 and be like, okay, awesome. The same way that you can just like even pull up like a squash match from like an old episode of Superstars and there's still going to be redeeming qualities to it. It's completely different. It's completely unique to professional wrestling. I myself still prefer being there live in person. And I think that the needs of that live audience are different than the needs of the DVD audience. So, you know, the struggle is trying to put together lineups that appeal to both as best as you can.
Speaking of bringing those guys in, Matt Riddle, you know, he's kind of a newcomer. You've had him on several shows and great matches with guys like Sugar Dunkerton, Tommaso Ciampa, and bringing in his friends like Chuck O'Neill, stuff like that. How do you think he's going to do in front of that PWG crowd?
You know, it's hard to say because I can tell you right now that Riddle is somebody that people online, like, really go nuts over. But our fans were, like, resentful when we started using him. And it took a while for him to kind of, like, really settle in front of our crowd, if that makes sense, where our fans realize, like, okay, this isn't just a traction guy. Like, this guy is actually pretty good. And it's kind of funny because that's where the storytelling elements of professional wrestling come in there. It's like, you know, you can just throw out like a sick match, and if the guy has a good match, like that works for some guys. But other guys, like, you kind of have to put a program around them and give them a series of matches with the same opponent and build a feud so that way the crowd can kind of understand their motives and how they act. And to me, Riddle's been one of those guys. And now it's like after 6 months of putting Riddle in a program with you know, other MMA fighters or people in Catchpoint and stuff like that, the way that it came out, it was like, finally he was in a position where he could headline against Tommaso Ciampa, and it wasn't out of the ordinary. If we would have debuted Matt Riddle 6 months ago right in the main event, I think our fans would have completely turned on that. As far as how he's going to do in front of PWG, I think that Matt Riddle is a phenomenal performer when you consider his level of experience. So I can definitely see him going out there and having a strong outing and surpassing people's expectations, but I think it's going to be based on, oh, we're watching a wrestler that hasn't even competed at a national level for 1 year, as opposed to somebody who wrestles at the level of Chris Hero, who's been around, if that makes any sense. You know what I mean?
With Matt Riddle, people are like,
oh, he's an unbelievable performer, with the caveat of considering how new he is. And based on how much he's improved as quickly as he has, he's probably going to be like the best wrestler like ever in like 3 years. But you know what I mean? Like, but to me, that's what I like watching though. I like watching that development. I like watching him as he gets better and better, or any of the wrestlers, as you can see, wow, this is something that they didn't do last time that they absolutely nailed this time. And it just keeps getting better and better. So I do think that Riddle is good enough right now to be able to wow the PWG crowd. And it seems like very few wrestlers over the past 5 or 6 years have really shit the bed at PWG. So I don't expect Riddle to be on that short list.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm hoping, you know, to see some of the feedback from that. But yeah, it's interesting to see how you've booked him, and it was a very good, smart, gradual booking. Speaking of, though, I think this is something that we've been tweeted at before. Keith Lee, man, you know, you talk about a guy, you know, his size with his kind of his charisma that's getting out there. How did that come about with you? You know, I don't, you know, I don't know what the backstory is that. Did you just happen to see him at a show and you're like, okay, I'm going to use him, or what happened with that?
Somebody on Twitter hit me up and was like, "Oh, Keith Lee wants to come work for you." And I was kind of like, "Eh, okay." Like, we get a lot of suggestions, but it just so I mean, I wanted to put together Gigantic as far as like a bunch of Haas fights. So timing wise, it was like, "Okay, this works." And it was the type of situation where, you know, because he knew he was unproven, like he worked out a deal. You know what I mean? It's like he, you know, if you're somebody that's unknown, it's hard to justify a flight. And a full booking fee on top of that. Just speaking realistically, you know what I mean? Like, if I'm gonna drop $750, I could bring in somebody that's a drive-in, that's a surefire draw. So for somebody that's gonna get a flight, like, he was cool and he was willing to work with me. And obviously, with our working relationship with Limitless Wrestling, we were able to get him another booking. So it's not like he lost money coming out for the weekend. It's probably not what he normally got, but it was almost like a tryout, you know? Like, hey, are you good enough to be at Beyond Wrestling? And he stole the show. You know what I mean? I felt bad for JT Dunn, Jeff Cobb, Chris Dickinson, and Big Damo because there was no following Donovan Dijak versus Keith Lee at Gigantic. And the thing was, you know, Donovan Dijak steals every Beyond Wrestling show. So then it was kind of like, well, is Keith Lee a fluke? And he got over so much that the very next day, I bought his flight from Texas to Boston. And I just felt like, when you get over that much with our crowd, you can't not reward that. And with the match with John Silver, he proved himself not to be a fluke. That was another match. I mean, my dad turned to me and he was like, that was one of the best five matches that Beyond Wrestling has ever run. And to be there live for that atmosphere, to see some of the incredible displays of athleticism that they pulled off, it was just a wild thing. You had to be there. I mean, it's good on tape. Don't get me wrong, the match holds up on tape, but to be there live was like a special, memorable experiences. Those are the moments that make people say, I can't miss a Beyond Wrestling show. I have to go to every Beyond Wrestling show. And you know, once things fell through with some of the other people that I was looking to for American Rana, whether it was you know, Zandig or Scorpio or Dan Severn, whatever the case may be, it was like, you know what? Like, this guy's on fire. Like, we gotta bring him in for American Rana. And I even told him, I was like, hey, man, I want to work with you for American Rana. What match ideas do you have? And Brian Cage has been trying to come back, and Keith Lee suggested it. And so just timing-wise, it's like, all right, like, if you want to wrestle Brian Cage, then we're going to bring in Brian Cage. And the American Rana lineup is, like, so stacked that I feel like it's one of the matches that's getting overlooked. And as we were talking about Matthew Riddle, too, like, Riddle versus John Silver, like, with the year that John Silver's been having for us, like, that is a match that I'm most excited for that could just as easily steal the show. So, again, John Silver and Keith Lee are two guys that have just been absolutely been killing it for us. But that's part of the freedom that Beyond Wrestling has, is that our fans know now that Beyond Wrestling usually doesn't screw up. So anytime that they're bringing in somebody new, it's worth giving them a chance. I mean, I remember when Speedball Mike Daly debuted against Biff Busick, and it's like this geeky looking kid coming out in a karate gi, and like, fans in the crowd are heckling him. And then it's like, all of a sudden, he kicks our hero, and it's like, holy shit, like, this kid is out of control. And it's like, he was a made man in front of our crowd in just one night. You need to reward that type of performance. And that's what we've done with Keith Lee.
I absolutely think you have. So yeah, before we got for Drew, I guess everything you said, I think, just sold all of our listeners on getting the show. Tickets are still on sale, I believe, at LookMaNoFans.com. Correct? There's very few left. So tell our listeners where they can get it, how they can get tickets, or where this is going to be when they can watch it.
Yeah, if you can just go to LookMaNoFans.com, you can get tickets for American Rana 16. The VIP is sold out. We've got a handful of combo tickets for only $40. So you can see Women's Wrestling Revolution and American Rana 16 for only $40 that day, which is a pretty good deal. And you know, the show will probably be up in like 1 or 2 days at the raw footage at Beyond Demand, and then it'll get a proper release probably within a month at Smart Mark Video. So I think Smart Mark Video usually does the Blu-ray for American Rana as well, so that'll be cool. And might have a couple surprises or two in store, but I mean, it's pretty straightforward. That's one thing that I like about American Rana is sometimes in order for a card to stay relevant, you kind of have to stagger announcements and keep reminding people, like, hey, like, you know, this is a show, this is a show. So we're gonna match one, then we're gonna wait a couple days and announce match two. With American Rana, I like just going like, hey, I'm gonna show you my entire hand. Like, these are all of the matches that we're running. And it's a very well received card. obviously people still associate Beyond Wrestling with Fet Music more than any other venue. So for us to be able to go back there, I think that adds another element to it, to make it a more must-see show than if it was just this lineup at any other venue. So, you know, like I said, we're projected for a sellout. Anybody that's looking to get tickets should not hesitate.
There you go. Well, thanks a lot, Drew. We appreciate you coming on and talking about it.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks.